Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in with us. This is a Veterans Day weekend, and we take a moment in our worship services, if you view online, to really celebrate the men and women who have served our country and those of us that are connected with them. And in honor of that, our anthem this morning is God Bless America. So I invite you to listen to this anthem and prepare your hearts for the word that will be offered.
Storm clouds gather far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Our scripture is Matthew 25, 1 through 13. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." While they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You will notice right off the bat a substantial difference in ancient and modern weddings. No bridezillas in the ancient world, right? In modern times, a wedding is one time that the female of the species gets a pass on being demanding and overbearing and late. Everyone wants to please the bride. Not so in the ancient world. Our bride isn't even mentioned. It's the groom everyone is waiting on, including the bridesmaids, who are waiting, according to custom, at the groom's family home. They might better be called groomsmaids. Whatever we call these young women, or however much we might bemoan their first century plight, it's heartening that both Jesus and Matthew seem to consider it important whether or not they participate in the kingdom of heaven, get a seat at the heavenly banquet. The parable is, of course, for everyone, but it speaks well of the early Christians that young women, who are typically thought of as property, are the example, that how they wait and their ability to light the way makes a difference in their lives and maybe in other lives as well. If they can do it, we can do it. Let's pray for guidance. Holy God, we want to have enough oil to see our way to the banquet. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts lead us to kingdom living, banquet joy. Amen. The chapter preceding today's text has the disciples asking Jesus what the sign of his returning and the end of the age will be. This is known as the parousia and would have been of keen interest to Matthew's audience, who has been waiting at least 50 or 60 years for the second coming of Jesus, which Jesus' original disciples thought was imminent way back then. A traditional reading of the parable is that if you want to make it into heaven at the end of time, which is represented by the messianic wedding banquet, you need to be prepared with extra oil, no matter how long you've been waiting, because you just never know when the bridegroom, allegorically speaking, Jesus Christ, is going to make his appearance, announce the procession into the banquet for those who are ready and waiting. And if you, silly girl, have been braiding your hair, or kohling your eyes, or heaven forbid, talking somewhere over there out of range, you have missed the party. To mix metaphors, if you do not have the oil to keep those lamps lit, you will be up creek without a paddle, heading for the rocks, heading for high and dry with no hope in sight, because you are lacking illumination, light. Where you will not be is heaven. You cannot see your way to the banquet, and the door is closed. The end. This interpretation is suitable to scare people, but is that what Jesus means to do when one of his main themes is fear not? Don't worry. He sends his disciples out on the road and tells them, take no money and not even an extra coat. Kind of caution to the wind. We do have to remember that a parable is an illustration to make a point, not real life. Jesus also isn't known for being quite so simple. His parables' meanings can be obscure and are meant to get people thinking about difficult questions beyond the cut-and-dried rules, traditions, and customs to what is behind them. Over the last few chapters of Matthew, Jesus of Nazareth has been making verbal mincemeat out of the smartest, most educated, most religious of the community, the Pharisees, teasing out of their questions the meaning and spirit of the law, the something more. For instance, not only should you love your neighbor, but Jesus says more than that, love your enemy and pray for her. So what is the something more here? Surely life is more than just a waiting game, won at the end by remembering the Girl Scout motto from sixth grade, be prepared. Take an extra needle and thread in your backpack in case one of your merit badges falls off on the hike. The gospel taken as a whole might clue us in. Matthew is structured in five sections, and each one of them concerns the kingdom of heaven, in which this parable takes place. Multiple times early in the gospel, Jesus says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," or "the kingdom of heaven has come near, the kingdom is nigh." The expression "the kingdom of heaven" in Matthew is used in the same way that the kingdom of God is used in other gospels. Some think that Matthew, following Jewish custom, would not say or use the name of God. Whichever way you say it, though, the meaning is that the reign of God is not just in a far-off place called heaven, but is also right here, right now. Repent. Change your life. Live in the kingdom. The late theologian, author, and pastor Eugene Peterson writes, "Kingdom is what Jesus reveals, patiently but insistently, word by word, act by act." If that is so, then kingdom is at least in part a way of living. Whether we are near the end of times, or in the middle times, or for all we know, we could still be early church, what's important is how we are living into that kingdom now. That's our oil. That's what the foolish bridesmaids were lacking. For the Hebrew people, to which both Jesus and Matthew's communities belonged, oil is a symbol of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Those of the Jewish faith were called to live the Torah, to engage in our faith in worship and prayer, loving neighbor through service and fellowship. These are the things that fill our flasks of oil, that help us to see like Jesus, help us to see and participate in the banquet in this life. My daughter Anna is studying to be a psychologist. One of her classmates seems to me a wise bridesmaid with extra oil for times needed. Troubled by the Israeli-Hamas war, she has volunteered to offer therapy via Zoom to trauma victims. This will not be easy work. She spent a year living in Israel with her family, and so has ties to many friends there. To hear the horrors will be tough, and yet to help in this way, I have to think, will be one of the more impactful events in her life. This, to me, seems like banquet living. Not a tea party, but the full-on meal that life is if we are really willing to really live it, the way that Jesus lived it. To be in relationship and to care for others in both hard times and good ones, like Jesus, is the preparation for and illumination to the banquet. It's our oil. Ask anyone who's been on a mission trip if the oil of hard work and group cooperation doesn't light the way to the banquet. Ask those who've grown close in the oil of a Bible study or book group if their changed vision, working to see as Jesus did, doesn't enlighten their lives and feel like a banquet. Obviously, a fellowship dinner or party is a banquet. True table fellowship is one of the fastest ways to jumpstart a banquet life. And to worship each Sabbath, to swell with the choir, to celebrate all those weekly Easters is a feast that feeds our souls and reminds us the kingdom exists eternally, always has, always will, and is happening right now among us. It's our oil. That's why we drew up the program guide this year. Not so we can tick off boxes and earn our way to heaven like so many merit badges, but so we can illuminate our lives now enough to see the banquet in our midst. The guide is a list of oil dealers where we can fill up our flasks. All these things that we do are preparation to be able to see and participate in the divine banquet. The oil needed to illuminate our path and to help others see too. Honestly, what could be a bigger blast? Don't miss the party. I do think we'll get to heaven, something beautiful beyond this life. But you know, time is relative. It is both eternal and slipping away. The poet Mary Oliver wrote, "Doesn't everything die at last and too soon?" Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What will we do with the time allotted to us here? What will each of us do? What will we do together? Will we fill our flasks with oil and flourish? I hope we will light the way to the banquet. I hope it will be said of us, they were wise and prepared with much oil. They were a light on the hill that illuminated the way for many. I hope we will hear Jesus repeat to us His words spoken on a hill long ago, you are the light of the world. Amen. May it be so, Lord. Fill our flasks that we may be your people, the people you would have us be, the light you would have us shine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.